This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
How have you been?
Good, man. Really good. Really excited. Really excited for VCon.
Thank you,
it's
brother.
It's gonna be a lot of fun up there.
Big shout out to Tyler, Josh, one of literally the scariest man on the planet, one of the best fighters in the world. Willie, former partner of mine and friend. See a lot of people in the Brandon. See a lot of people hanging in the court in the live. Excuse me. And Steve, thanks for having me.
Yeah, awesome, man. Thank you for joining in. This is going to be a lot of fun. So Matt, Matt's my manager, but he's also my partner in all the NFT stuff.
What's up, Gary?
Hey, brother.
So glad that we're all here talking. So yeah, let's get started.
Gary, was there anybody on your team you want to bring up on stage? I don't know everyone on there. If there's anyone in the audience.
Nobody from my standpoint. Just here to shoot the shit. I'm super excited for the invite. Thank you, guys. Pumped to hear what you guys going on in your world. Happy to answer anything about VF2 or the space in general or the state of the union or just do Q&A with the audience. Like, I think you guys have a sense of me. I'm very focused on whatever brings people the most value for the attention they've allocated to us in this 30 minutes.
Perfect. Well, I don't know. What's a good place to start? I guess the easiest place to start is where you guys overlap, which is VCon coming up. Steve speaking. It's your thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So from my standpoint, for everybody's listening, obviously, I literally want every single person that's listening right now to go to OpenSea and buy a VCon ticket and come, because I really do believe that VCon 1, May 19th to the 22nd in Minnesota, will be like one of those events. It is no question, in my opinion, the most significant NFT Web3 conference thrown. It's at US Bank Stadium. It's the luminaries from this space, the Beckys of the worlds, the Sarah Baumans, the Kevin Roses, the Beeples, and then the culture, you know, Pharrell and Aoki and, you know, Mila Kunis. And it's really going to be a lot of fun. Logan Paul, Mike Lazaro, just incredible, like thinking power is what I would say of the 150 speakers. There's 10,255 VFriends Series 1s that all got tickets. My intuition is some people are in closed vaults, investment funds. So I'm thinking 8,500, 8,700, 7,900, 9,000 people all in one place for 4 days in Minnesota, where, you know, I strategically picked Minnesota because I just want everybody to be together with each other. You start getting into Vegas or New York, you get into fragmentation. And so I'm super excited about it. Very humbled, Steve, that you're able to make it. I know you're like in and out and like you got so much shit on your own plate and there's very few people that have as many businesses and things going on as me. And Steve has definitely been able to do that. So I thank him because I know he's super busy, but I'm really excited about it. I think it's a good time. The space is getting more mature. There's some fun stuff going on. Moonbirds is at a real moment. So I'm pumped that Kevin's going to be there. I couldn't be more excited about it.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it, Gary. I'm honored to be speaking up on VCon with you guys. And thanks for the invitation to be part of that. You've always invited me to many things like that. So in general, it's just, whether it's like metaversal or physical. But this is the first thing I'm doing with you in the physical. Really good to meet you at the Fanatics thing, too.
Yeah, it was really fun. Steve and I have really built this virtual friendship in the last couple of years, but because of COVID, just haven't had the chance. It was epic to spend a little time there, Steve.
Yeah, I think what's going to be fun as well is that I get to perform. So, like, I'm coming out there to speak for VCon, but I have a show, I think, that night. I know it's VCon's for a few days, but one of the nights I'll be playing at – literally one of my favorite venues, no joke, in the entire United States. It's
the Armory. Epic.
Yes, the Armory. Yeah. It's like 7,500 people. It's a massive concert hall.
I don't think that I've told anybody this, Alpha, but I'm pretty sure you may know this, Steve. You may not. I'm pretty sure I bought a boatload of tickets that I'm gonna do like some sort of surprise and delight with. I don't think maybe my team's upset with me right now because I've said it publicly, but I'm super excited about it.
I didn't want to say anything, but yeah, you bought like a mega yacht worth.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna do something with those tickets. And so I have 8,000 people in Minnesota. So I'm excited about that. It's amazing that that worked out.
Yeah, it's incredible. I just remember okay, we're already there. Let's do a concert. And like the Armory is available. Let's lock it in. But literally whenever I tour the US, it is top three concert venues in the United States for me.
Yeah, top it makes three. Sense to me. We, you know, I'm an investor. I'm a team owner in the Call of Duty League with the owners from the Vikings. That also had a lot to do with me picking this location. And what's cool about the Call of Duty Esports League is it's in-person and virtual. So the kickoff to the entire league was at the Armory. And I was there and was just blown away by the venue.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. So that's awesome to get to do both and be able to be part of the VCon world and have VCon attendees be part of, you know, a fun, crazy show.
Does that mean
maybe cake someone in the face?
Yeah, like exactly. There's a V friend. Like, I don't have a cake in the face frog, but maybe I'll draw one and you'll just do that.
Oh,
so, Steve,
Gary,
real quick,
let me ask
you a question. What in this year of NFTs, it's been about 15, 16, 17, 18 months of this cultural phenomenon. We jammed a bunch with cards. You're a collector at heart. I am. You've got your hands in so much popular culture. You know, back to your career, you were doing physical events where the Skrillex and the Kanyes came through. Like, you've been, your life has been at the epicenter of emerging culture. If you would compare NFTs to everything you've seen in your career, what is the most interesting thing about the rise of NFTs that's different than the rise of sports cards, the rise of sneakers, the rise of Lady Gaga, Skrillex, Kanye's, like Yeezys, Kith? You've got your pulse to it. I really appreciate your ability to like be in it. Influencers, literally, I'm good at that stuff. Every time one's emerging, sure enough, they're chilling with Aoki. Like, this is what you trade, popular culture. What, if I asked you to zero in on what you've seen with NFTs, what's different about it? What's interesting about it? What's your kind of like most unique take on what we've seen here in the last 15 months? What's different about it? And what's the future hold from one man's point of view?
Well, before I go into what's different about it, what I've seen that's similar, that's got me hooked, like the reason why I got so excited about it, was how similar it felt when you're part of something that's like emerging and you know it's going to take over. Like, when I was in high school, I was into straight edge hardcore music, you know, and it's a very small little world where like 40 kids get together and they just like scream about change. And like, we have so many hopes and like dreams and we want to build and contribute. And that's the only way you can actually grow further, is not by wearing like, you know, your flashy sneakers. It's by like, you have to make a zine, you have to start a band, you have to like do this, you have to do that. Or like when the emerging electro EDM scene was blowing up, and being part of a small room where everyone's just like excited for like growth, you know, and we all had to participate. That's where I see like that kind of feeling is what I've felt in the last, you know, I'd say like 12, 14 months, like you're talking about, like this, like, well, the only way that we're going to move the needle is if we're all working together. And
makes sense.
I just haven't felt that, you know, I haven't really, it's like only a handful of times have I really, truly felt like that kind of passion, and not just passion, but contribution.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like, I knew it right away. I saw it in Web 2 with social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr. I knew exactly what it tasted like, which is why I went so hard, like really, really hard, because I saw it in 90. I wasn't in it when I saw Web 1. I wasn't in California in 1994 when it was actually going down, like that early part. I had a dinner with a friend last night and he was talking about a business he built, and he said he was using Twitter just as it was pop, like just as Twitter, you know, he kind of said like, you know, we were using Twitter as it was just getting going or getting big or it was starting. And he was talking about 2010 and 11. And I stopped him because we also were talking about Web3. And I was like, hey, I invested in Twitter in 2007. You're sitting here logically going through a very smart business story, talking about how the advantage of knowing Twitter just when it got going was big for your business. That was 4 years later. Let me tell you where we are in NFTs. We're not even in 2007. We're in Jack and Ev haven't even met yet to make Twitter, you know, or, you know, and so like when I look at all these beautiful faces in this room, the ones I know, right? That, and I've watched the Farooqs or the Raouls, so like just looking at all these faces, right? Willie, like who I worked with intimately, Vicky, who's been a fan of my community for a long time, like Mumbat, who I think is an incredible artist, and where she's at. The number one thing I'm positive of, as I like kind of literally keep scrolling here, Flea, Max, right? Like what I know for fact is every person in here, everyone, even the blue fucking check marks, are completely confused to how early it is.
Right.
Like 99% of America, forget about the rest of the world, has this in, I haven't heard about it. I've only heard the term. I don't totally get it. It's a scam. It's a fad. It's this one thing my one friend's doing. And that friend, by the way, is wrong a lot and occasionally right. So they can't trust it. If everybody here collectively understood how early we were. So when people are like, I mean, Steve, I am so, I don't want to say this. I am so fascinated by people's obsession with the floor price day to day in a game that I think hasn't even started. People are asking about the floor price the way you would ask about the score of an NBA game with 30 seconds left in the game. Like, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
And I don't think we've even woke up the day of the 7:30 night game of the basketball game. Like, we're so far away from a floor price being relevant for anybody besides a day trader or someone who's put way too much of their money into this from a gambling and hope perspective. Like, we haven't even, I can't even explain how early this is.
Well, and Gary, you were one of the first people early on that was like, rarity, what you think today is going to completely change.
Yes.
You said that early on, and that kind of opened my eyes up.
Yeah, because I've been there, right? Like, I don't think people understand, like, they're very good at their emotional wants and needs, and they're very bad at history. and so history is very clear on this. Like we have projects, like it's just, now, what's interesting is, but it's complicated. I'll give you a good example. I'm watching a lot of people that have been in this space for the last year say things about Moonbirds without understanding how real Ryan Carson and Kevin Rose are as business operators. Right? Like it, you know, I think that the discussion we are not having at all in this space is people's capacity to navigate what they've created.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is the most irrelevant thing in NFT land right now is the roadmap. If you run a business, you can have a strategy, but people are making decisions based on a roadmap that will never be executed exactly like the roadmap. I promise you that Bored Ape, less than a year ago, did not have a roadmap of selling land the way there's like it's just not the way business, this is business.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand what the fuck everyone's talking, like, this is fucking business. And you have a, people don't understand. And like, people throw around words like community. Like, I go into Discords every night. What happened to all these great communities now that some of the projects are down 25%? You should see what's going on in these Discords.
No loyalty.
It's fucking, of course it's not loyalty. Because it wasn't a community.
They're there for the price.
Yeah.
And on the record, that's amazing. Who gets to judge? Like, if you want to come to buy and flip, mazel tov. The part that becomes very detrimental, where I think founders of projects are fucking up, is they're not creating clarity around conversation. The, you know, when people talk about community, they're missing so many points. You know, the reality is it's super okay to be about a community, but when every third text you put into a Discord is, "Hey, everybody, don't sell." Oh, so the price doesn't go, like this is strictly financial arbitrage right now. I go into all these Discords, I read them all because I like consumer insights, and you know, I just I think it's incredibly important for the 1,500 people that are on this chat that are all of them. Every person in this chat is a significant luminary to the NFT space because we're that early, and I think we have to be very real about what's happening here. What's happening here is not, you know, 75% of the market on a good day, it's probably higher than that, are day trading, bouncing in and out of projects. And that's amazing. That's called capitalism. It's fine. It is what it is. But I call for all project leaders to make decisions on what she or he thinks is right for the business in a 15-year window, not in a 15-hour floor price. Because I've watched 3 to 4 projects, and I won't name them because that would be inappropriate. 3 or 4 projects that started off with the right creative, artistic energy, the right starting point, it caught lightning, the right energy, and I've watched them systematically destroy their product in the last 6 months because they're overreacting to the floor price and to Discord chatter from people that are only talking from their own self-interest on their money on paper. And I won't do that. And that's why VFriends, the day I listen to my Discord on what they want for their floor price for this night, tonight, is the day VFriends is over.
That's a perfect segue because I was going to mention, like, so what do you, and obviously Steve has Aokiverse and you have VFriends. And I don't know how much you know about Aokiverse. I'm sure Steve can give us all the details, but like, how do you guys build a community with that in mind?
I build a community by focusing on winning on, let me tell you a good community, the Golden State Warrior fans. Let me tell you how they built the community, by winning fucking championships. I used to go into fucking San Francisco back in 2006, 2007, 2008. There wasn't a fucking person in San Francisco that even realized the Golden State Warriors played in San Francisco. You know, all these fucking friends of mine who made lots of money in Web 2.0 that sit courtside and have fucking Steph Curry jerseys are front running fans that couldn't tell you who the fuck Chris Mullin was if he took a shit on them. So the way I think about building community is by fucking executing and turning VFriends into G.I. Joe and Transformers on a bad day and fucking Disney on a good day. And miraculously, by my complete focus on making 8 billion people care about Patient Panda and fucking Rare Robot, I will have a great community. The right. End.
Absolutely.
The community is just like any fandom. It's self-interest. The reason popular teams have a lot of fans is human beings need their self-esteem fulfilled by other energies, so they latch on to winners to close the gaps of their own insecurity. Do you understand how many Jet fans are going to be in America when I buy the Jets and win Super Bowls? A fuckload. So every owner of projects needs to worry about making a winning project, and then that's that.
You're right.
And they have to take lumps. Let me give you an example. The last 2 years, VaynerX, my company, best 2 years of its 13-year run. The 4 years prior, we didn't make a dollar in profit. I plan on doing the same thing with VFriends. I don't give a shit if VFriends in 2025 doesn't appease the short-term financial arbitrage machine that is the ecosystem right now. Let them all fucking sell. It'll be the biggest regret of their fucking life.
Gary, two words, delayed gratification.
Yeah, and to me, yes, comma, building an actual thing.
Right.
And everyone right now is focused on the optics of an actual thing.
Yeah.
Well, let me provide an alternative thought to this, which is founders don't do a good enough job managing expectations and really communicating what's happening from the inside out and getting people close to decisions. And the more that founders can do that, the more confidence they'll be.
Let me give you the reverse play.
Sure.
I want to communicate less.
Why is that?
Because all that is going to do is require entitlement from the community to want to know everything about everything instead of actually believing in something.
Yeah. Prove with actions, not with words. Yeah.
That's right. Like, yeah. Like when people ask right. me my roadmap in my Discord, I reply domination. Like if I have at 46 years old, building my dad's business for him, co-building Resy and selling it for $200 million to Amex, building Empathy Wines and selling it for $100 million to Constellation in 18 months with my two partners, building a billion-dollar company in VaynerX, building a $50 million sale on VFriends last May, which is an eternity ago, being an early investor in Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, building the brand of Gary V. If I haven't proved what the fuck is going to happen with VFriends now, the fuck is a fucking little fucking roadmap done in an infographic going to do for me?
Yeah, well, exactly.
That's true. But people are also, they know Gary V, right? Yeah. Who's this purple guy over here? Anonymous. I mean, I have to approach it from a different position, but I get what you're saying.
That I respect the shit out of. And I think that's right. But what I would say is the purple guy is still going to only win you it through execution, right? Mark Zuckerberg unknown until he did it, right? But Mark saying he's going to do it wasn't doing shit for him. When he said he was going to do it, the stock opened at 42 and it dropped to 17.
Yeah, I think under, like, the way I look at this whole game is the goal is to earn trust. You can't earn trust. There's no way to hack earning trust. The best way to do it is to consistently underpromise and overdeliver. And if you consistently right. do that over and over again.
The problem with that is that's unbelievably true. Naveen, I think that's brilliant. The problem for me is I'm too in my community. I'm too excited. I'm too like in it. And like for me, to your point, it's got to be over delivering or delivering against the hyperbole, but also people being okay in having step back moments. You know what I mean, Naveen? Even when you underpromise, there'll be a moment where you underpromise and even underdeliver on that underpromise, and having the stomach to think of it in a 16-year window instead of what's going to happen to the project is everything.
Steve, how do you take that? Because obviously you've been building Aokiverse now we launched a few months ago, but you've been working on something like this for a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, just to go along with what Gary's saying, it's so true. It's like about the how you operate the business in the long term. And it's clear Gary's done that with all his other businesses. So he already has the proof of concept in the real world, in Web 2 businesses. So, which is why, the Moonbirds is so well, whatever it is that's like growing, it's clear that they believe in the operators. So, I think at the end of the day, if you have that philosophy, and you have the strength, like, I love that domination, it's so true.
I think that what I would say, because I know I got to bounce and I apologize, and we can do it again because I really appreciate the invite. What I'll leave with, because there's so many people here that should take the floor and this could be an epic session. I apologize. I got to go to my next meeting, but here's what I would say. This is a profound time in Web3. And if you genuinely feel like it is incredibly okay to be selfish, because that's the human spirit. That's a human spirit. Another human spirit is selfless, which is also okay. I think the thing that everyone has to look themselves in the mirror in this 2,000 person group right now is just let your words and your actions map together. There's just a lot of people, and I see them here looking at the avatars, that are talking about nirvana and awesome and love and shmuv, and the actions are incredibly contradictory to that. And I think they're losing equity with their constituents, and more importantly, with the other emotionally intelligent executors in the space and the world. And I just think that, like, own what you're doing, right? Like, don't be afraid to be like, look, this is my time to create wealth or my time to build this project for myself. I think that the authenticity of where you stand will help quite a bit, because one of the things that has the highest floor price in the NFT space right now is hypocrisy.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Loved it.
Yeah, it's integrity is crucial. You got to just be an integrity. Right.
Because whether you're front facing like I am, or like Fung said, you know, like anonymous behind an avatar, it's still you, right? Like at some level, like I don't understand how people are willing to compromise their reputation.
Well, because they want fast money. So
short-term gains.
To your point, my friend. I just wish that everybody that was in this chat realized their talent to observe such an important emerging thing means that they already have enough talent to make plenty of money. They just need to be thoughtful about it. They'll make a lot more money in the end if they don't compromise their reputation and their soul for a quick bag.
Yeah, it's mindset. It's like abundance mindset versus scarcity mindset. You know, if someone comes to the table with an abundance mindset, I have an abundance of time, abundance of money, abundance of opportunity, and they operate within integrity and they're authentic with themselves and everyone around them, then the world just works better, you know. But when people are in it for fast money, fast gain, you know, then the whole thing gets fucked.
It's so true. And like what us abundant people need to do is they need to be careful to not have resentment for all the abundance people. Like I'm out here living as if I'm going to live forever and everybody else is going to be a trillionaire and happy too. That's how much, like Naveen, you couldn't believe how much I was, my head was, one of the things that's not great about spaces that's better in like full video, like my head was rocking off my neck when you were just talking. Like I'm literally living out, if I wish all of you could read the data in my stomach right now, the level of wanting happiness and success for every single person's face I see here right now is off the fucking charts. Because I know all of your happiness and winning doesn't come out of mine. And so like, I don't know, I just really wish everyone well here. There's so much opportunity. Please be thoughtful. Please stop throwing around community when it really is self-interest day trading. Not because it's bad to self-interest day trade. Do self-interest day trading. Just call it self-interest day trading. It will help you get into that practice. Look at me. I'm trying to be kind as fuck in all these warm feelings, but I've also told the world I want to buy the Jets, right? It's okay. You can do both. It's about actually being truthful with your actions. People are getting confused out there. In the confusion, it's going to be a lot of heartache. I'm incredibly worried. Let me leave with this. I'm incredibly worried about the following scenario, and I would like the community to ponder this so we can help each other. Please, let's make sure we protect people that have won for the first time during this era. There's a lot of people running around their friend circles right now with a little bit of like a, ha ha, told you, you were stupid, you should have listened to me and bought a Bored Ape or a Gremlin or a Moonbird, like ha ha. Like their self-identity, their self-worth is tied into the fact that they played the NFT market properly in the last year. When they lose because they're gambling and they haven't fully seen it, and there'll be a big percentage of that. Some will sell, but when that person that I just described loses, they're gonna have a very difficult time facing their friends and family because they've been gloating. They've been showboating. And you know, it's one of those, you know, be nice on the elevator up for the way down. They're not being nice on the way up, which means there's gonna be no hands to catch them on the way down. All their friends and relatives are waiting to tell them it was a fad. When there's a market correction and they lose, they're going to be in a very bad emotional state. And I don't want to lose any of our community to darkness, depression, unhappiness, or worse, the ultimate crime. And this has all the elements of that because people are wrapping their self-worth into being an NFT genius in an overinflated situation. So let's be thoughtful about conversation. The reason I'm bringing this up is I hope we start talking about things like, hey, if you're winning in NFTs, don't make fun of your non-NFT winning friends. Build them up and teach them what's good, bad, and indifferent, because I see a ton of youthful energy misplaying it. And I've seen this in Wall Street. I've seen this in Web 1. I've seen this in Web 2. The amount of money that's about to be lost over the next 3 years is profound. The money's the one thing. Their self-worth is going to go down with it. And when your self-worth goes away, you become incredibly vulnerable to isolationism. So let's be more thoughtful in this space. There's a lot of fun stuff. There's incredible stuff going on. It's amazing. but there's a lot of money integrated into this. And with money comes a lot of danger. We need thoughtful combos in this space. And that's why I wanted to give that spiel right now.
Gary, you always inspire. It's like just all your input is incredible, your insights.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much. Really, thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Love all of you.
Thank you, Gary.
See you soon, Gary.
Peace.